Welcome back. 38 past the hour. It's Faith Radio. By just a couple of weeks away from the presidential election, a lot of Christians feeling discouraged, even fearful. Although that may be understandable, it's not what followers of Jesus Christ should be experiencing. Joining us, denominational leader and talk show host Carmen LaBurge. She hosts the Reconnect radio program heard in Washington, D.C. and in Florida. Good morning, Carmen. How are you?
Good morning, Bill. I'm well.
Before we dive into some of your recent writing, I know you live or have lived in the southeastern United States, and I'm sure you have friends and relatives who may be impacted by Hurricane Matthew. Have you been in touch with some of them?
I have been. I now live in Tennessee, but one of the things that I've been saying to everybody in the SEC who is not in a Atlantic coastal state is that our part of the SEC needs to be ready to receive our eastern neighbors and show hospitality. And I've been asking people on my show, you know, how many empty bedrooms do you have? Because there's not enough hotels and campgrounds and even emergency shelters to take in millions of coastal residents from Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. So I really do think this is an opportunity not just for local churches to, you know, open wide their doors, but for individual Christians to really go and, after the storm passes, go seek out those people who can't go home. This is probably, for us in the United States, the closest thing that we're going to experience to the kind of dislocation that the neighbors of Syria are experiencing right now. So if you want to know what it feels like to be in Lebanon and need to open up your home to refugees, Matthew may be giving us that kind of opportunity here in the United States. It will be a short-term refugee dislocation for us here, but it does give us a taste of what it's like for our neighbors to literally have no home to go back to, and that's certainly already true in Haiti.
That's a great parallel for us. Did you live in North Carolina, South Carolina for several years?
Yeah, so I'm nomadic enough that I have lived and/or worked in every one of the affected states. So I grew up in Tampa. I went to the University of Florida. I've lived in Northeast Georgia and on Hilton Head in South Carolina. So I have a lot of friends from Hilton Head who have very, very dire expectations in terms of going home.
You know, I was at the Barrier Islands, North Carolina. Last Thanksgiving, and you just was struck, you know, by the beauty of the coast. But then I was also struck by all those houses sitting there right along that strand and thinking, oh, my Lord, what would happen to us if a hurricane came ashore? So we need to be praying for every one of those people in those affected states, and particularly Florida right now, just getting hammered in that Palm Beach area and Cape Canaveral. So, Carmen, you wrote a powerful piece on your blog recently. It was inspired by a political headline in the New York Times. What was the headline?
Oh, I'm guessing that you are talking about evangelicals and despair. So the headline was, "Torn over Donald Trump and cut off by culture wars, evangelicals despair." And it was those two words put together at the end of the sentence that, I don't light my hair on fire over very much, but I will tell you that the spirit within me rose up in revulsion at those two words appearing together anywhere, let alone in a headline, in the kind of newspaper with the audience that the New York Times has.
And do you think that was an accurate headline? I mean, obviously, there is a significant percentage of evangelicals that are concerned, but do you think that the church by and large is despairing right now?
No. So I think that the word despair, if the word had been the word discouraged or depressed or concerned, all of those would have been accurate. I think that the word despair characterizes the church as something she never is. Despair means an utter lack of hope, no sense of hope on the horizon, an abandonment of any hope whatsoever. And you cannot put the word evangelical when you're referring to Christians and the word despair and couple them together. It's a It's theologically inaccurate. It's an inaccurate representation of who the church is and what she believes and where her hope rests. And so although I personalize it, because that's the way I personalize it in my blog on reconnectwithcarmen.com, because it's personalized in the New York Times story, I think that for those of us, when we're thinking about the church and we're thinking about the church universal and we're thinking about the church triumphant, we need to remember that we're talking about an eternal reality that rests in the lordship of Jesus Christ, and it rests on nothing related to the politics of the day, who's running for office, who ends up winning, whose leadership we have to submit ourselves to willingly and even joyfully over the next 4 or 8 years. So I think that for Christians, we've got to get a grip on the perspective that we have as Christ people in the world today, regardless of the government under whose authority we live or the nation state within which we reside.
Well, and we certainly, as we've talked before on this program, we are part of a heavenly kingdom. We're ambassadors of that kingdom here on earth, and our allegiance is to a very different leader. Do you believe that despair is a sin?
If sin is that which is antithetical to the gospel or antithetical to the reality of who God is, then yes, despair, by its definition, is a sin. So I think that Paul is really instructive on this point. I mean, if we look at verses like, let's say 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think verses 16 to 18. So he talks about not losing heart. That is actually do not despair. To lose heart is to despair. He talks about, although our outer nature is wasting away, and you can think of that outer nature as anything that is of this world. Think about the personal aging process. You could think about the wasting away of even human relationships or governance structures. There is wasting away on the Florida coastline right now. You could think about erosion, not just of physical things, but the erosion of relationships and morality. So even though our outer nature or outer self is wasting away, for Christians, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. That is a declaration of what the gospel is actively doing in the life of a believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so to despair, even as things in the world and things of the flesh are wasting away, to despair is, yes, antithetical to the gospel. Paul talks about all of these things being light and momentary afflictions. And when you think about Paul and his life and what he endured, for him to refer to all those things as light and momentary afflictions, and in the face of all that, to not despair, I mean, it makes our version of Christianity look really, really weak by comparison. So he talks again about that all of this is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory that really bears no comparison whatsoever as we look at the things that that are seen around us right now. So, you know, I think we have to keep in mind the transient nature of the things that we see around us and even in us sometimes, but we have to be declaring with our lives and with our words and with our testimony the reality of that which is unseen. And we've got to help people reconnect the eternal with the everyday.
Preach it, sister. I love that. We got to get you out there in some of our big churches to speak that truth. That's just wonderful, Carmen. Carmen LaBurge, our host, our guest. She's the host of the Reconnect radio program, heard in Washington, D.C. and in Florida. We'll take a quick break here on Faith Radio and be right back. Good morning, 49 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My friend Carmen LaBurge is with us. She hosts the Reconnect radio program, which you can hear if you're in Washington, D.C., you know, and all those legislators and President Obama, they're just tooling around in their limousines, and they just switch over to WAVA in Washington, D.C., and they go, hey, there's Carmen LaBurge on the radio, and she's talking truth at me, which we really appreciate. Carmen, the next presidential debate coming up on Sunday night, is it true you thought that some important issues were missed in the first debate last week?
Well, I think that no single debate can cover all of the issues, but even when given the opportunity to effectively cover some issues, I think that both presidential candidates missed opportunities in the first debate, and I hope that they are that those issues are surfaced again and that maybe they have prepared better answers this next time. And here's the thing that really concerns me, Bill. I mean, I am one of those people who absolutely believes that even in a debate setting, you could have rehearsed an answer and you can deliver a line. But the question really is, what are either one of these people going to do once they're in office? And so I do think that as Christians, we need to be thinking in advance about the kinds of answers, the kinds of things we want to be hearing, instead of always being in the reactive or response mode. So I'm hoping to hear on this coming Sunday night a very clear articulation of the church's role, actually an invitation to church leaders, Christian leaders, in relationship to the role the church can play actively in racial reconciliation in the country right now, that the church is on the forefront of that conversation in many local communities. And really, the church is the one with the only answer, the only right answer to that question, which is that race doesn't matter. It matters in that each one of us is uniquely created with a skin color. But in terms of who we are as people, every individual is created in the image of God. And until we get to that place where we recognize that, then we're going to continue having prejudices that are based on things other than, hey, we're all mutually created in the image of God. Government can't lead that conversation because our government doesn't believe that. They talk about, they're going to rely on the Constitution and say all men are created equal, but then that equality gets defined by rights that now the government sees in conflict and even competition with one another. So the church is really in a unique position right now to be invited to step forward and lead the racial reconciliation in this country. I wish I had heard that. I wish I had heard as well candidates who presented themselves as people that we as Americans would want to emulate and as we as Americans would want to have out there in the world representing us. I didn't see that in either one of them in the first debate. And so this is not about whether or not somebody looks or acts presidential. This, to me, is about whether or not that's an individual whose character I am excited about having out there in the world representing my country. Now, that for Christians should be a pretty strong, hey, I better stand and look in the mirror this morning because I'm out there every day representing Jesus Christ. And how's he feeling about how I'm representing him?
Yeah, I got that log in my own eye. I got to get it out, because I'm tend to criticize and even our candidates. And I think you're right. We need to look in that mirror and say, OK, what am I doing today? How am I acting? And so thank you for that challenge. You've just pretty much made me feel bad about myself. But that's OK, Carmen. I need to feel bad. I mean, that's the Bible. The Bible says we should not have a seared conscience. So my conscience is not seared. I have godly sorrow this morning for my own behavior. Okay, so in your blog post, you point out that after a debate, most people ask who won, but you say we really should be asking a different question about truth.
Yeah, particularly in these debates where there's so much emphasis on fact-checking, we seem obsessed with this. I mean, it seems to be the one job that's growing in the country is the job opportunity of being a fact checker for a particular viewpoint. And so they're not really checking facts so much as they are checking to be sure that their candidate's viewpoint is the one that is presented in the most positive light. For Christians, we really have to be not only watching and listening to what's happening with ears that are attuned to the truth, but we need to be people who help the rest of the culture focus on and understand even what truth is. We don't get to construct our own realities, any of us, and we don't get to construct truths that then support those realities. Reality is that which is, or truth is that which is aligned with actual reality, the reality of who God is, the reality of how God created the world and us in it, and how God is present and active in the world today by the agency of the Holy Spirit and the church. And so if we are out there fussing over or fighting about any lesser truth or truth claim, then we're really not fulfilling the unique role and responsibility that we have in the world as Christ's representatives.
Very well said. And of course, God reveals himself in two very powerful ways, his revealed word in Scripture and his revelation in creation and nature. And we can discover truth in both of those ways, and they line up with each other. And as I've always said, if they don't line up, it's usually because either our science and research is skewed by our fallen nature, or our theology is skewed by our fallen nature. And because all truth is God's truth, and we need to appreciate that. So Carmen LaBerge, thank you so much for your time this morning. You always bring some fresh insights to this radio program. By the way, Carmen's website, is it the Reconnect with Carmen?
Just reconnectwithcarmen.com. And Bill, it's always fun to be on. Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. Have a great weekend.